Master of Science, but you're also contemplated for these general areas. But must of necessity be correlated with research activities in these disciplines. That the future should include Master of Science degrees in exploration and mining also. A two-year associate degree program in mineral and petroleum technology is a natural outgrowth of our present certificate program. Discussions with oil company officials have verified that they are in favor of seeing this program expanded to the associate degree level and having the university offer courses of instruction in petroleum. Technician level graduates will be a benefit to the expanding oil industry as well as associated industrial complexes. The Allied Associate Degree Program and course offerings in petroleum, as shown on the right, have been approved by the Academic Council and the Board of Regents and await financial approval of the state legislature. The longer term outlook correlated with mineral resource development must include considerations for undergraduate and graduate instruction in the fields of extractive metallurgy, physical metallurgy, and petroleum engineering. The programs that we propose, however, will not be effective unless accompanied by an intensified recruitment campaign to inform students at the secondary school level, as well as the general public, of the opportunities that are available in these industries.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. O'Neill.
Are there any companies who engage graduate students and pay them for doing their fieldwork necessary for their thesis for a master's or doctor's degree?
Yes.
They actually pay them.
We have had arrangements in the past, and probably we'll have two, perhaps three more this summer, in which the parent company will pay for the transportation, of course, to the site. If the problem worked on by the student is an industry-connected problem, and the usual arrangement here would be that the professor at the university and the geologist on the project and the company would be co-supervisors of the thesis. Such opportunities are available.
Well, put it another way. Does a company engage a graduate student to work on a project for which he can write his thesis degree?
Yes. Yes, they do this.
Without your supervision?
No, they could not do it without our supervision. The usual arrangement would be something like this. If the graduate committee of the student would meet and approve on the problem, first of all, it has to be written up as a proposal by the student through his major professor. And the major professor was convinced that he and the resident geologist involved in the company side of the project could work out a proper supervisory scheme. And that the information could be released so that it becomes a part of archival material within a reasonable amount of time. Most universities accept this, that is, encourage this type of relationship.
Coming just a minute, a point further on that, there is a professional degree that is still available in the college that would certainly fit into the category you mentioned. This is beyond the bachelor's, requires 5 years of experience plus an appropriate thesis that is written otherwise, and then all of this is submitted. It is not the master's program as such, but more of the profession.
In other words, you don't have to have a master's to get a doctor's.
Right on into.
Yeah, you can go.
You could go. Like the normal thing is the bachelor, master's, and doctor. But certainly there.
I asked that question for a particular reason because I'm involved in where geologist is going to work on a special project that I'm interested in a foreign country, and that he is going to have a year's contract with the company, and during the time that he will do this thesis work on this particular project, he will not have any particular supervision from his university, which is another company. I was wondering if sometimes the necessity for supervision from the university ties their hands.
Mr. O'Neill, I think you find this it's more than one area, more than certainly in the air science and the industry here. He's doing during this year, basically his data collection, his field work, then I don't see any real problem here of providing supervision while he's in the field. He would have had to have a university association in order to define problems, outline the procedures to follow, and he'd have to go back to the university to work with the faculty in order to finalize his written product. Well, but the time he's out in the field gathering the data, he can be on his own, and sometimes it's taken a deal longer than 1 year to do this.
Well, I didn't infer that he didn't have to go back to the university to make the final presentation of this important statement. I gathered that during the course of the field work, the university people had to make two trips out to observe his performance or something.
Practically speaking, in cases like this, usually the major professor makes a big field check, yeah, if he can. But I know of instances where the two professionals have respect for one another and confidence, particularly on a master's degree program. It's not at all uncommon for the major professor to accept such a thesis with the testimony and the professional backing of the man who supervised in the field for the company. These arrangements are made.
The other question I had was that, and I don't want to get into a long discussion on it, but I don't quite see how you're going to break down the difference between mineral exploration and mining degree, but you may have a simple one sentence that I
our problem is this, and I think that we have narrowed the field down so much by just offering strictly a mining engineering degree. And in the area of specialization that we're on now, the mining engineer was expected to be mineral preparation man, an exploration man, a mining man, an economist, and the whole thing. But I don't think this is true anymore. And what we hope to do is that we give him the core courses necessary so that he can fit into, or the introductory courses to fit into any of these areas. And he makes a decision, am I interested in the exploration end of it, am I interested in the pure mining end of it, or am I interested in the beneficiation end or the economics end? And then at his last year, the last part of his junior year and his senior year, he's developed this interest, and he will specialize in effective undergraduate level in these areas. He'll get a degree in mineral engineering, but his option would be either mining engineering, exploration, something like that.
Well, in a way, it did answer my question, Dr. Cook, but I can see the difference between an economic engineer or a benefaction engineer or anything else, but I can't.
That's the best type of an associate program that will allow them to cover the field for the petroleum industry. And we're still putting this together. We have the type of programs that many other schools are using, and we have the type that the petroleum industry wants. In one case, one is that no petroleum subjects per se, this is the extreme, but rather the general type of education. The other extreme would be where you would have a number of petroleum subjects as well as your basic courses along the way. And we are in contact with the Oil and Gas Association on these things step by step, and there have been no major changes in their thinking as far as we can observe. Dr. Shiro, please, you have a question.
My question has been more or less answered.
it was relative to the petroleum industry also.
Yeah.
And, well, by the way, have you been able to recruit this petroleum engineer?
Sir, we're in this type of position. That's an excellent question. We're in this type of position. If the we're starting to look now, but we can only look on sort of a tentative basis and say, well, we're going to offer you this job if we get the money. And this money is in the budget request for the coming year, a new position we put in. So it's a case of having to. Specifically, we do not have a person ready to sign the contract now.
And then I take it the program for petroleum engineering would be a specialization program, and we're quite a ways from that still.
Yes, yes.
This man would have to come here, and you go from there, and that develops, and as the oil industry, as it develops, this we'd be right there to fall in line with it.
That is right. In the little chart that we had, there was one little item off to one side that indicated a pre-major, a program in petroleum engineering.
Petroleum courses.
Yeah, and that was started in 1958, immediately after the discovery in Cook Inlet in 57. Got together with oil companies as to what action we should be taking at that time. There was the attitude at that time was sort of a standoff, well, let's not go too fast. But we did then contact a number of schools, and this was done in person, University of Tulsa, University of Texas, Stanford University, schools that did have good petroleum engineering curriculum, and made arrangements that any Alaskan student that wanted to major in petroleum engineering could come here, take the normal basic engineering courses, and then transfer in. It wasn't where we were offering anything in petroleum, but we were in a position to assist anybody. And this has been carried in our catalog since about 1958, sort of a pre-major thing. But now, and as the years have gone, and as there have been more developments, it appears now is the time to move ahead. And as Dr. Cook has indicated, we've been quite successful with the BIA boys and going to work for the petroleum companies. This is a one-year certificate program. This will go into the two-year.
One question. I heard one time that even in this age, we're getting into very sophisticated survey and exploration type of techniques with satellites and all of this. That in one country there are some 30,000 people engaged in exploration for minerals, and I gather at about a technician level of some sort, which would be either certificate or associate degree program as far as we're concerned. It is after there had been spotted some sort of anomaly, then had to put people in on the ground to check certain things out. Is there any possibility for states such as Alaska, you might develop some kind of exploration program at the certificate or technician level that would tie into the broader field of higher studies and exploration?
Very, very definitely. See, this is done under the supervision of a key man in exploration type, where you would, these people then could come in and at the technician level be very much utilized. And this is really the idea that it was behind this mineral tech program, where we've had some real good results. One individual was taken and with Kennecott and as an analyst, and then sent back to the States for further training along the way. Others have gone in as draftsmen in the Anchorage area for the oil companies. And it's a case where they want a certain amount of basic information, and then they'll work them into their overall organization. Don, you may want to comment more on that.
Well, I think when we first started this program, our original intention was a lot different than it turned out. We had intended we would take native people from the villages and train them in the graduate exploration of mines. They go back to their own villages and be sort of the head man, I guess, and any thing that they could rely on to their own people could serve as a sort of an exploration program in the outlying areas. You could finance it. So we ended up in the program ideas.
One further comment on this. The other, about a week or so, I was driving to the university. In fact, it was a Sunday morning, and I looked in back of the rear mirror and I saw a highway patrol car in back of me. Kept following and I came right on up and I wasn't speeding. I stopped at all the signs and so forth and I pulled into one of the parking lots and this highway patrol car came right along with me and pretty much stopped and the man got out and he came up to me and said, "Do you recognize me?" And I looked and his face was familiar but I didn't recognize him. Well, to make a long story short, it was a man who had taken the mineral tech program and he had worked in the industry for a while. In the meantime, he has cut his hair. He's just really a fine-looking person compared to the way we had remembered him, with all due respect to him. But here, where he had gone now was the result of what he had, the association he had with the university. And this in itself was a step, an indirect step, certainly nothing that we had planned. But again, I think it gets into the larger problem of what can we do for our people. Here was a contact. So after all, a person goes through a university and gets a degree, may or may not follow that. Go off to different places. Well, there was no ticket or nothing else involved in it. Are there any other questions? Ms. Ball.
This study that was made for the Nurse Commission, is this for public?
Yes, ma'am, it is. It is available. We are down to the point now where it's just about ready for a reprint. It's been available on a free basis. The reprinting will be a charge. not many left. The packets that have been passed out, the information that has been given here today, but also it includes the report of the Mineral Industry Research Laboratory. And in there you will find the different reports that have come out. There's a blue and a green copy, and the reason for the two is this is it's trying to get us now on the fiscal year basis rather than the calendar year basis. Yes?
Are you able to tie in the university and all with the operations that are being done off the coast, off the mill, for instance?
At the present time, we have a close contact with the companies doing it and no more of a map. Now, through Dr. Cook, we have had samples from there and beneficiation has been carried on. But it is this type of thing. There's a heavy metal program, I believe it's the University of Washington is involved with in that general area. We have heavy metals programs here, Dr. Forbes has, but that's inland, not on the coast. I don't know if that was a very clear-cut answer.
Do we have a report that will be out shortly?
Right. And this report will include some
work around the home area, within the area, Gulf of Alaska, another MIRL report that is the final study of stage now, its presentation, which includes some of this offshore using.
Marine Institute.
I wish I had some of that stock.
Right. This report that Dr. Cook refers to is taking samples, and the samples have been treated to show just what materials are in the sample that we have on there. Yeah. Reference to the drilling that was done as an example by Shell Oil through the ice, we're very much aware of what was done and the techniques are done. Of course, the results as far as unit values are confidential to the company. Any other questions? Well, if not, then we're just about at the time for a short coffee break. Our schedule is right back pretty much where we belong. If you have any questions, we'll attempt to answer. We might say also that in the future, we would invite every one of you to visit the Brooks Building. We're real crowded in there, but we'll do everything we can to show you around.
Sometime I'd like to have Dr. Port brief us on what they're doing in Siberia to raise the business.
Sure, would be happy to.
Yeah.
We'll take a short break now.
This time it's my pleasure to introduce to you the Dean of the College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering, Dean Belk. Chuck.
Okay. Hi, Dean, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
You got a plan for your session?
Two of my people were telling me today they're flying around in an airplane somewhere in the grounds. Basically, bored myself.
Okay.
I have several documents here that I would like to distribute to you. Talk about these.
You get that.
Look. They're all different?
Yes.
Four different things.
There are several doctors here that I passed out. One of them passed to the Native students, and we'll discuss this tomorrow, so let's not get hung up right now on the intercultural program. The College of Mathematics, Physical Sciences, and Engineering has prepared for several faculties for this for some time. We have discussed goals and criteria for the program and so on. I tried to lay some of this out before you and discuss this as we go. This is an outline form. And if at any time you want to stop, please feel free to, and I'll try to either answer or evade your questions. The goals are of the college are rather simple. We say to provide the academic programs, research results, and since we are an engineering college, also consulting capabilities which are appropriate to the current needs of the state of Alaska in the areas of this college's responsibilities. You'll notice here, have left out the word current and future needs. The need isn't really a need until it becomes current. So this is perhaps a rather fine point of speech here, but nonetheless, we feel that through continuing education, continuing research, we can handle the future needs of the states, of the state when they arrive on the scene. Now, we take a rather pragmatic, we hope, and hard look at new programs and new courses, actually. We feel, first of all, we should ask the question, what good is it? Why does the state need this? Is it a faculty member here who is trying to sell us on something, or is this indeed a need of the state? We find that in hiring faculty people, sometimes we are attempting to find a man in a specific area. We miss the area a little bit, perhaps, with the man that we hire. Perhaps settle for someone who we feel will fulfill most of the needs of the job, but he overlaps in another area. Before long, his interest is primarily in the other area very frequently, and of course he begins to sell us on that other area. Now we have to look very hard when this happens. Is this indeed an area that this fellow is interested in pursuing because he's interested in pursuing it for another reason, or is this indeed a need of the state? So we try to keep our eyes on the ball here as much as possible. Does the state need this? Now, most of the people in our college are engineers, and most of us have been students of Grants Engineering Economics book for some time. and we can quote the axioms and so on from Grant. Epistles and Gospels from Grant, if you wish, the same as the minister can quote the Epistles and Gospels from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So many of us think in terms of benefit-cost ratios. Two questions. What's the benefit to the state? What's it going to cost? What is the benefit-cost ratio? Is it going to yield much more in the way of benefits than it is in costs, or the other way around? Try to use this as a criterion for new programs. We have developed a formula where we give greater weight to programs where students will remain in the state after they graduate and practice whatever it is that they've learned here than we do to students who will leave the state. We realize, of course, that students are transient. The state is transient. 25-30% population turnover per year, so we can't just educate for the people who are going to remain in the state. We have to educate for the people who are here. But we do tend to look in our programs with more favor on programs which are going to graduate people who will remain in the state and practice their whatever it is in the state. On the second page of the outline, we have the structure of the college as it exists. I haven't copied the catalog here. I'm sure you're aware of the catalog and know the various departments. Perhaps don't know which college they're in, but they're outlined for you here. You notice that we have several engineering departments, and then physics, chemistry, mathematics, and general science. General science is a very tiny department, so in essence, our departments in which we really grant very many degrees are the first seven. The engineering management department is somewhat different from the others in that it is only a graduate department. We don't give a bachelor degree in engineering management, we give only the master degree. We will probably begin to give an occasional PhD in engineering management, but this will be on an interdisciplinary basis rather than with an established program in engineering management. The engineering management program has been extremely successful in the Anchorage area, where we have from 13 to 15 or 18 people graduating each year with a master degree in engineering management. We have four or five, sometimes six, graduate on this campus in engineering management. We have a small program in Juneau. We're teaching presently two courses there. We have around 20 people enrolled in these courses. We don't see that Juneau is going to be a situation where we will have courses being offered every year because our analysis of the demand so far indicates that it is limited. There's a backlog of demand there right now, which we're taking care of, and this may well dwindle off in a year or so, and perhaps we'll have to let this lie dormant for 3 or 4 years and then come back in again in 3, 4, 5 years with other courses. In addition to our departments, we have several programs. Now, in many ways, the programs are no different from the departments. In some ways, they are different. The electronic technology program is one which turns out the associate degree student only. This is a two-year program. Essentially, we graduate people at the end of 15 months because this is a 12-month program. Students come in September and they graduate a year from the following January. So the class that is graduating the next week came in a year ago last September. We graduated two classes a year. Last year we had a rather unusual situation where we were doing a little switching in the program, so we graduated, I think, only 19 people, only one class graduated. This year, again, there will be two classes graduating, and we'll graduate around 40 people in this program. This has been an extremely successful program, and many of you will remember difficulties in the legislature a few years over this program. I think that all the difficulties were well worth it. I think I can show you benefit cost-wise, a tremendous benefit cost ratio for this program, probably greater than any other program in the whole world, better than oil will. Last year, our graduates, who came out of this program at the end of 15 months, primarily a man but an occasional woman, went to work for in the order of $1,050 a month. This was right about the average. Now bear in mind that most of these people were not well employed before they went into the ET program. 15 months later they came on and they were able to go to work. They have a very, very good, they call it a profession. I don't say it's a trade, but it's somewhere in between. I'm an engineer, so we call ET a profession. But they do have a very lucrative job when they complete their work. They are all employed. They don't go to work for a while, lose their jobs, or find the demand shifts. They remain employed. And last year, at this time, I haven't checked the numbers out recently, but last year at this time, 90% of the people who graduated in the last 4 years of the program were still in the state. I think that, you know, this has been fabulous as far as results are concerned. We're very enthusiastic about more of the same. In addition to the ET program, we have an environmental environmental health engineering program, which is a very tiny program. We have had sometimes as many as 4 students and sometimes only 3 students in this program. It's a program which is being funded virtually completely by the federal government. We're taking a good serious look at it. If the enrollment doesn't increase in the next few years, we probably will get out of the environmental health engineering game and perhaps merge this with something else. Again, the benefits are going to have to be better than they have been, or we won't continue to expand the costs. Now, the oceanography program is something that probably our college should not take credit for. It's just something that is in the college for administrative purposes. It was desirable to have oceanography in a college for administrative purposes. It was placed in our college. This is an interdisciplinary program which involves geology, biology, chemistry, physics, math. Institute of Marine Science, of course, is the prime mover in this, but there are other departments involved in this, other colleges, of course, involved in it. So that this is administrated essentially by a committee. We do have our established programs at this stage of the game for the master's degree in oceanography and ocean engineering. Now, we're not here to discuss research today, but I did want to make you aware of some of the research that the college does. We do have departmental research, and this is in physics, chemistry, some of the engineering departments, and in mathematics. Some of this is sponsored by federal agencies. Some of it is sponsored by the state, and that the instructor, faculty member, is part-time teaching, part-time research, and so on. A good number of the faculty members in the college are associated on a research basis with institutes, research institutes. Some with the Geophysical Institute, some with the Marine Science Institute, Water Resources, Arctic Environmental Engineering, which is under the college at this stage of the game, but with the various institutes. They work summers there or part-time in the winter with the appropriate research institute. The research arm of the college is our Arctic Environmental Engineering Laboratory. This is a research organization that has sort of fumbled and stumbled, I suppose, for some time. And very suddenly, with the oil emphasis in the north, this is beginning to blossom out and virtually explode. We happen to have the people, I'll do a little bragging now, if I realize that I am bragging. We have been fortunate in having a group of engineers who have done work in the Arctic and who have done some sea ice work, both in the Arctic and the Cook Inlet. And this is exactly what the oil companies are about, and they want it desperately. And we're in the fortunate position of having outside industry, Houston and Dallas and New York and so on, flocking to this university to get the technical information, technical consulting very, very badly needed. We found that they were very well received when we go to America and visit the oil barons. They wine us and dine us on all the information we can give them. We are involved in various research projects right now on a pipeline in Barrow. We have in the ground at Barrow a 40-inch diameter pipe, 1,000 feet long. This wasn't even thought of on August 15th. The thoughts began to grind through various computers in September. It's in the ground now and is being tested. So this has been a massive operation. We're going to get the pipe to Fairbanks, we have to fly it to Barrow and C-130s. Have a contractor dig the trench, put the thing in the ground, cover it over, get it instrumented. And our engineers now are working in Barrow. They're commuting back and forth between Barrow, actually along Barrow, Fairbanks, and then some of them are teaching courses in Anchorage. So we may not be getting much out of it, and the oil companies may not be getting much out of it, but the lean certainly is. this next summer, the Humble Oil Company, in conjunction with Atlantic Richfield and British Petroleum, are going to make an icebreaker experiment with a very large tanker. I think it's about as large as an American-built tanker as they can find in Manhattan. It's over 100,000 tons. They're presently working on new bow and some changes in the stern of the ship to try to adapt it to icebreaker capabilities. This should leave New York around May 1st. Their hope is that they can get through to Prudhoe Bay and even to Seattle. When they all get to Seattle, they'll turn around and come back, and hopefully they'll pick up some other things in Seattle too. We'll pick up some oil in Prudhoe Bay and perhaps make the first commercial delivery of oil to the East Coast from the Prudhoe Bay area. These are the hopes. I hope you don't get stuck in the ice. Anyhow, the university has been asked, the Arctic Environmental Engineering Laboratory has been asked to participate in this program, and we probably, our sea ice experts, Dr. Payton, and some of the other people in the engineering areas, will participate in the sea ice experiments for this rather monumental icebreaker run. If it sinks, we'll all forget about it. We are involved, in addition to research, and there are many other research projects which we're involved in as far as the oil companies are concerned, federally funded research and some state funded research. But in addition, we're involved very heavily in consulting. We have a group of engineers who are experts. There's no fooling around about it. These people know what they're doing in the Arctic and in Alaska. And they are teaching, they are researching, and they are consulting. And we have encouraged consulting as much as we could because we feel that this is one of the very major duties of the university to provide an island of experts here in Alaska, which are available to industry and to government when the appropriate need arises. And we felt we've been able to respond at this stage of the game to this. We don't know how much longer we'll be able to because the need is so great and our people are so few. We're trying to expand very rapidly, but it takes a little while to educate people in some of these games. We're trying to hire Alaskans, our own graduates, as much as possible because they've been exposed to this area more than others have. But we're also seeking people in the United States, Canada, Japan, Europe, who have been exposed to Arctic conditions and know what they've done. We hope in the next 6 months we'll be able to remain on top of all the consulting and the research which needs to be done. But the answers have to come out very, very rapidly. We see, however, the Arctic and, well, particularly the Arctic, but Northern Alaska in general and Western Alaska as being an area of extensive research in so many different interdisciplinary areas in the next 20, 50 years, where many of us feel that perhaps the university's mission research-wise in the first 50 years of life of the university is this thing up north right now. This is a tremendous need. Things have to be done immediately. The university is here with the experts in so many areas. It isn't just engineering, it's so many areas. The university has an extremely capable research staff in a wide variety of areas, extremely knowledgeable teaching faculty. We at this stage of the game can move into the north and do great things. And perhaps this is the mission of the university for the first 50 years of its life, maybe the mission of the university for the next 20 years, I don't know. Now, where have we been? On one of these sheets, this is the rather legal-sized document. It doesn't tell you where we've been, but it shows you in the middle of the page. This is obviously an excerpt from the registrar's office, so there are other unimportant things that clutter up the page. There's science, mineral industries, this sort of thing. But down about in the middle, you get down to what our numbers are. We have historically, in the areas, again, I want to point out, this is mathematics, it's science, it's physics, chemistry, and engineering. And these are historically, in most universities, not areas where poor students flock. We have had troubles graduating students. We have a large number of students here, but if we compare this, if I didn't have the numbers of graduates here, but if we compare this with the number of graduates, the numbers of graduates are not impressive. And this is something that we have been historically poor in. We have been historically very aware of it. We've watched this for years, and we are trying to do something about this. And this I'll discuss in just a moment or two. You see, for the college this fall, we have around 400 students. Now, this is only on the Fairbanks campus. This does not include our engineering management students in either Anchorage or Juneau. We probably have, I suspect, another 40, maybe 60 students in engineering management and related courses, 60 students even in engineering management courses and part of engineering courses in Juneau and in Anchorage. Our rather large departments here, of course, are the Electronic Technology Department and Civil Engineering Department. Civil Engineering has historically been quite large here. I remember some years ago when it was 20% of the university. It's not that large a percentage, it's about 4 or 5. These are the areas also where we have a large number of graduates. Again, in engineering management, we graduated 19 with master's degrees last year, and we will probably easily match that this year. So these are large areas as far as graduates are concerned. Chemistry, physics, and mathematics are turning out graduates, but they probably, at this stage of the development of the university, do a more important job as service areas to the rest of the university. It's necessary in the university to have mathematics, to have physics, and to have chemistry. You can't beat this. This is inescapable, even for a large university. So these are doing primarily the job of providing service courses, though many of these service courses are at the junior and senior level, and in some cases at the graduate level. So they aren't just a freshman and sophomore service course area. They provide service courses in many areas. The numbers of graduates, however, in physics, chemistry, and math are not impressive. Of course, in the physics program, geophysics, we turn out a number of PhDs. Last year, there were 6 PhDs combined geophysics and physics. This tells you numbers. Now, we probably better get on to where we intend to go, because I think this is perhaps more important than where we've been. We see it, this is on the third page of the outline, some new academic programs. Now, these are new programs which will come to you in the course of events. And they're not earth-shaking. They're not the things that we would say are new directions, new frontiers sort of thing. They're just new programs. And most of them involve expansions of things that we're already in. Arctic engineering. Now, we intend to begin to offer a Master of Science and possibly a PhD program in Arctic engineering. We feel this is indeed our destiny at the University of Alaska is to be the leader in the North. Anyone who's going to offer Arctic engineering, they should indeed offer it. We have been giving courses in Arctic engineering for some time. we're very well staffed in the area of Arctic engineering. We feel that the time has come we should place emphasis on graduate degrees in this area. We will begin, we will seek new programs in engineering physics at all levels, bachelor, master, PhD. We have devised at the bachelor level a program which involves no new courses, no new people. It simply means having 10 students in a class instead of 8 students in this class, 22 students instead of 20, and so on. This will be an area which will lie between physics and engineering. Presently, we have some students who are very, very good from a scientific standpoint, but they'd rather do a little more of the engineering work. They want to get into engineering physics. They don't want to be straight engineers. They want to be sort of an engineering scientist or a scientific engineer, if you want to call it that. The engineering physics program would be exactly in line with their needs and their capabilities. So this program we will probably attempt to initiate in the fall. It will not have a large number of graduates. It'll have 2, 3, maybe 4 graduates a year. But it will not, I don't think, cost more money. So we're really trying to get a little more flexibility and a little more efficiency out of what we're presently doing by offering this program. The university has a very large number of chemists on the campus. All PhDs, or virtually all PhDs, so we feel we are eminently qualified to offer, as an established program, PhD in biochemistry. And we will be requesting this in the very near future. We feel we can field this very well. This will be primarily a research degree. It will probably cost a little bit of money, but I don't anticipate expenditures here as being very large. We hope to begin a computer sciences program at the master level. Now, the state of Alaska has not responded as well as it should have, or could have, perhaps, to the computer age. We find on this campus we can't hire the appropriate people very frequently. We can't hire the appropriate people to do the computer work that should be done. This is true of various places in the state. We in our college hope to begin a program in computer sciences at the master level. The computer will probably be picked up more in our engineering programs than it has been in the past. I must confess to you, are somewhat behind in using the computer in our engineering courses and in our engineering research. This we should be. And this is something that was brought home to us by the recent accredited agency, Engineering Council for Professional Development, when they came to Alaska. I think most of us knew this, but they've pressed us a little bit. We're going to work very much harder in this area. So we do need to have a computer sciences program at the master level to provide the graduates to teach, to research, to run the various computers in the state with some knowledge. Now, last year we began, actually this academic year, we began our oceanography and ocean engineering program. We did not have the funds to field the ocean engineering program, so we fielded only oceanography. We're teaching courses in oceanography, but not in ocean engineering this year. Next year, we hope we'll have a few more funds available, and we will try to begin to offer a very broad-based ocean engineering program. This we see a fairly large number of students in. We will again try to place emphasis on the problems of the North rather than Hawaii or Acapulco or somewhere. We will get heavily, we hope, into sea ice engineering, sea ice physics. We hope that we'll be able to, through engineering research, do some good in fishing areas. Some of us, engineers based in that, have felt for some time that maybe the fishing industry in Alaska is missing several boats, and one of these is in the areas of marine architecture, net development, equipment development, and so on. So we would hope that we could eventually get into this area, areas that other government agencies and other segments of the university are not presently in, and do some good. We are trying to find money at the present time for an electromechanical technology program. This again would be an associate degree program, and its benefit cost ratio is extremely high. We find if pipelines are developed in the state in the next few years, there will be an immense demand for people to handle the electrical and mechanical aspects of oil collection and oil piping. Also some perhaps in the areas of oil development. There are various jobs in Cook Inlet right now which some of the people who graduate from such a program could go out and handle. These are rather high paid jobs. These people are knocking down very excellent salaries out there working on the platforms and docks and so on. But they have to have rather good skills. In some of these areas there are one or two or three people running the show. They can't leave someone out there who's incompetent, because if the pump misses one, it'll be large numbers of dollars are involved here. So these people will have to be trained. They won't take people out there who are not trained, and we hope that we can get a program going here which will train people in these areas so that we can keep some of this money again in Alaska and put some of the Alaskans to work who presently are relatively unemployed. We know from experience that communications industry has had a terrible time keeping people from Houston and Dallas and Seattle and Portland and so on in the field in Alaska. They send someone to Barrow, or they send someone to Kotzebue or Tatooine or what have you. On the average, the person is gone at the end of 1 year. They spend several months training him. They don't get really very much back from him. They do pay a fabulous price for him. His salary is very high. He has extra this and extra that. The state of Alaska gets very little from him, a little bit of income tax. We'll spin off, I suppose, maybe in a bar when he leaves. And again, Wayne gets a little money when he comes in and goes out. But this is about the extent of it. So what we're shooting for is to give the oil industry and the communications industry and any other industry where there is enough demand to warrant really getting in and teaching some courses, trained Alaskans, and this is particularly true of natives. Natives have lived in the north and the west and the east and the south of Alaska for centuries. We feel that they're going to live there for some time. They don't move around nearly as much as the white man does. I suspect that of this 30% turnover a year, it isn't primarily natives, it's primarily white men. So we feel that if we can train larger numbers of natives in these areas, give them a good education, and make it broad-based enough so that they're not particularly stuck with one industry, so that they're a little bit flexible. Then we can send them out into the pipelines, keep the pipelines running. They'll probably be fairly happy living there. They've lived there for some time. The salary, however, will be much better than they've had in the past, and live a decent life there. In addition to this, they will have the flexibility, though, so that they can go somewhere else and work in a somewhat different industry if they so desire. We see initially electromechanical technology a need for around 100 people a year, and this may go up to 200 people a year. We're working in the initial phases right now, working with the oil companies and trying to develop the appropriate program. We think we have this pretty well lined out, and we think by next fall we'll be able to crack in this area. What we presently see is 1 year of electronic technology as it presently exists, and then an additional year of mechanical technology. Now the new direction. So far we've just talked about, I shouldn't perhaps say just talked about, but we have discussed the specific programs that we intend to initiate in the next year or so. These are things that we can see we definitely need now, and there's demand for, and so on. Now, new direction. Some of the things that we haven't done in the past. We would like very much, our engineering people would like very much to see the initial 2 years of science and engineering in Anchorage. Most of us feel that education has to be responsive again to the needs of the state. You have to take education to the people. We know where the people are. We have no illusions about what Fairbanks will be much larger than Anchorage in 5 years, but as it presently exists, Anchorage is a little larger. There are a number of students there who go to America to school, or they come here to school. University education away from home is very expensive presently, extremely expensive. So if we could offer the first 2 years down there, the physics, the chemistry, the math, the English, this sort of thing, the relatively low expense items, then we could probably haul them up here for the last 2 years and give them a very good education, but at a much reduced cost as far as the student and the student's parents are concerned. We see great possibilities here. As a matter of fact, it would probably be very attractive to some of the students to be able to remain in Anchorage for 2 years rather than go outside of school or come up here. It might make a difference in many cases between going to school and not going to school. This is extremely important. We have seen, particularly in engineering areas, a tremendous demand in the last 12 years nationally, maybe 15, 10, nationally for continuing education. I don't know what's happened to people, but it certainly has happened there. All seem to be aware of the fact that when they went to school, they learned what was current at that date, but other things are more current, they need more education. So we have a continuous demand for continuing education, and this is particularly true, again, in the engineering areas.